The Legion of Lazarus by Edmund Hamilton. It isn't the dying itself. It's what comes before. The waiting, alone in a room without windows, trying to think. The opening of the door, the voices of the men who are going with you, but not all the way. The walk down the corridor to the airlock room. The faces of the men, closed and impersonal. They do not enjoy this. Neither do they shrink from it. It's their job. This is the room. It is small, and it has a window. Outside there is no friendly sky, no clouds. There is space, and there is the huge red circle of Mars filling the sky, looking down like an enormous eye upon this tiny moon. But you do not look up. You look out. There are men out there. They are quite naked. They sleep upon the barren plain, drowsing in a timeless ocean. Their bodies are white as ivory, and their hair is loose across their faces. Some of them seem to smile. They lie and sleep, and the great red eye looks at them forever, as they are born around it. "It isn't so bad," says one of the men who are with you inside this ultimate room. 50 years from now, the rest of us will all be old or dead." It is small comfort. The one garment you have worn is taken from you, and the lock door opens, and the fear that cannot possibly become greater does become greater. And then suddenly that terrible crescendo is past. There is no longer any hope, and you learn that without hope there is little to be afraid of. You want now only to get it over with. You step forward into the lock. The door behind you shuts. You sense that the one before you is opening, but there is not much time. The burst of air carries you forward. Perhaps you scream, but you are now beyond sound. Beyond sight, beyond everything. You do not even feel that it is cold. Chapter 1. There is a time for sleep, and a time for waking. But Hurst had slept heavily, and the waking was hard. He had slept long, and the waking was slow. 50 years, said the dim voice of remembrance. But another part of his mind said, "No, it is only tomorrow morning." Another part of his mind. That was strange. There seemed to be more parts to his mind than he remembered having had before, but they were all confused and hidden behind a veil of mist. Perhaps they were not really there at all. Perhaps. 50 years. I have been dead, he thought, and now I live again. Half a century. Strange. Hurst lay on a narrow bed, in a place of subdued light and antiseptic-smelling air. There was no one else in the room. There was no sound. 50 years, he thought. What is it like now? The house where I lived once, the country, the planet. Where are my children? Where are my friends, my enemies, the people I loved, the people I hated? Where is Elena? Where is my wife? A whisper out of nowhere, sad, remote. Your wife is dead, and your children are old. Forget them. Forget the friends and the enemies. But I can't forget, cried Hurst silently, in the spaces of his own mind. It was only yesterday. 50 years, said the whisper, and you must forget. MacDonald, said Hurst suddenly, I didn't kill him. I was innocent. I can't forget that. Careful, said the whisper. Watch out. I didn't kill MacDonald. Somebody did. Somebody let me...